Hi, Eagles fans, and welcome to the Fan Forum here. I'm Dave Spadaro. This is a very special weekend for the Philadelphia Eagles organization and for the fans as the team opens its 2010 season, of course. But more than that, we recognize the past and celebrate the 1960 NFL Championship Eagles. And for the next half hour, we're going to be joined by two great former Eagles, wide receiver Tommy McDonald and all-purpose man and great player, Mr. Pete Retzlaff. Later, we'll be joined by Hall of Fame writer Ray Didinger. We invite all of you fans to ask questions. To do so, make sure you hit *3, and you will immediately go into a queue, and our screeners will pick you up there. So remember, hit *3 right now if you'd like to ask a question. For Tommy and for Pete, I want to welcome you to the Fan Forum here, and just say hello and congratulations, and what a great weekend ahead. For you, Tommy McDonald, how do you feel about this recognition and about thinking back to 50 years ago when you were the NFL champions?
Hey. I'm just glad that Mr. Laurie will even have us talk about the past and all that, because everything's a present-day thing. It's just really exciting to think that they can remember the old guys that played in the old times in 1960, and it's just marvelous.
Yeah, Pete, you're chuckling over here. You feel the same way?
Well, I don't feel quite as ancient as Tommy probably just put us, but we had a strong social bond among the players in that era, and that still is on cue today. And I know the Eagles have put a lot of work into making these 3 days of our reunion a very special weekend, and we're really looking forward to enjoying it.
That's great. Hey, guys, we want to remind the fans that to ask a question, hit *3. We've got some questions coming, and we will have our screeners attend to your questions. First thing we'd like to do for the fans, as you know, Sunday's game will honor the 1960 NFL Championship Philadelphia Eagles team. To join in our celebration, the question is, are you planning on wearing a Kelly Green jersey to this game against the Packers? Hit one for yes, hit two for no, and hit three for still thinking about it. The question again, are you planning to wear a Kelly Green jersey to the game on Sunday against the Packers? If you are, hit yes, hit one for yes, hit two for no, and hit three for still thinking about it. Guys, let's get to the questions here and talk to some of the fans who are out there. And let's go with this in just one moment here. Actually, let me start with you, Tommy, first. Tommy, do you remember what it was like that day when you won the NFL championship?
Yes, it was a great day because we won.
Right. What was the feeling among the team?
Feeling? It was outstanding. Mm-hmm. It was a feeling that you've never felt before, because when I was at Oklahoma playing there, I went all through college and never lost a game. But it was even a bigger thrill winning a championship like that. And it still is. I still get goosebumps just even talking about it.
Pete, do you still have very vivid memories?
Well, yeah, I have very vivid memories about the whole season, you know, and the game, obviously, which culminated with the World Championship. I would just say that it's one of those things that a lot of certain plays that you had, you remember a few of them. You remember the end of the game when Bobby Jackson and Chuck Bednarik sat on Mr. Taylor, mm-hmm. and wouldn't let him up until the clock ran out, so we knew we had won a world championship. And also, I think we cultivated a group of Philadelphia Eagle fans in Philadelphia that today have picked up the baton, so to speak, because when we started the season against Cleveland at Franklin Field, we only had about 28,000 people there. And by the end of the season, we were selling out. Mm-hmm. So those 9 straight wins endeared us to the Philadelphia fans, and the Philadelphia fans suddenly began a love affair with their Philadelphia Eagles, and I think that continues to today.
Yeah, that's no question about that. All right, guys, we've got some questions in the queue. Let's go first to Fran in Pottstown. Fran, welcome to the Fan Forum here.
Hi, thanks, Dave.
I
can't help but to ask a non-football question based on who we have on the line here, and that's to Tommy McDonald, because I'm always fond of the stories outside of the football where everybody had regular jobs when they played. And I remember my grandfather telling me stories that he used to work with Tommy McDonald, and I'm pretty sure it was about where you used to, like, sell Phillies, or you worked for Philly's Cigar Company.
Philly's Cigars,
true?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we did. In fact, we even had a TV show on the weekend, Jurgensen to McDonald, and it was really great.
Pete, did you have a second job?
Oh, I was working all the time. I worked for Connery Construction Company, which sold steel and steel fabrication. And then I started working with WIP Radio.
Okay.
And then I went to WCAU Television. And, it was just a given that at the end of the football season, if you were supporting a family, you got a job.
Yeah. Well, it's not like that today, that's for sure. Hey, Fran, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Pottsville and talk to Rob. Rob, welcome to the Fan Forum. Rob, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here, gentlemen.
Yeah, hi. You're live with both Pete Retzlaff and Tommy McDonald.
Hey, guys, how's it going? The question I essentially had for you guys is, I've been an Eagles fan, basically my whole life. I've been an Eagles fan since I'm 5 years old, and I'm relatively young. I'm in my early 20s. I personally don't remember much about the 1960 World Championship team, but I always hear my grandfather, talk about how great that season was to beat the Green Bay Packers in 1960. And I was wondering, how you guys felt, bringing a championship to the Philadelphia Eagles and, what it was like to play against a coach like Vince Lombardi and a quarterback like, Bart Starr. And I was also wondering what you think the prospects of today's Eagles team, is with, in terms of winning a championship. Do you think that this team has potential to bring another championship back to Philadelphia?
Yeah, I do. I think the team has got a good shot at bringing a championship back to Philadelphia. Personally, I like the new quarterback, Kevin Cobb. I think he has all the athletic skills that are required to be an outstanding quarterback. I think he has a good passing arm, and I think his game is a passing game today. And I also feel that he has a quality that is hard sometimes to detect unless you've played the game, and that is a quick thinker. A very quick thinking quarterback will get himself out of trouble and turn something that looks like a disaster into a good play. And I think that he has that ability. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Eagles bringing another championship to Philadelphia.
Hey, Rob, while we have you on the line, we'd like to welcome in Hall of Fame member Ray Dinger, who can kind of talk about that as well. Ray, can you talk about the idea of the Eagles, the possibility of this football team winning a Super Bowl?
Well, I think they have a really good young nucleus here. I think they've got a lot of really good young players. I think this is a very good draft class. And watching these guys up at training camp, you just saw there's a lot of young talent here. I don't know about this year. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl team this year. But I certainly think you have the makings of a group of players that could be a Super Bowl team in the not real distant future. This year, I think I see as more of a growth year, but I think you have the makings of a really good team here at NovaCare.
Fans who have joined us late, make sure you hit *3 to ask a question, and our staff of screeners will get to you right away, and we'll be able to give you an opportunity to ask a question. Tommy McDonald, Pete Retzlaff, and Ray Dinger joining us today on this Fan Forum from the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go now to Cape May, and Bob in Cape May joins us on the Fan Forum. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing? Hi, Tommy. Hi, Pete. I remember, I've been an Eagle fan probably from the time I was a little kid going back to Steve Van Buren, and I remember that 60 season as if it were yesterday. And the one game that I thought was the key game, and I wonder whether your comments on it, if you remember, was the, one of the greatest games I ever saw in my life, was that 31-29 victory over the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. And to me, that was the key to the season that turned that season around. I'd like your opinions on that.
Well, all right, this is Pete. I would just say I remember that game very well. We went into it at a time when the Cleveland Browns were on top of the league and they had almost every category defensively and offensively in their favor. And Bobby Walson kicking a field goal in the last minutes of the game or minute of the game, and I think it was probably the longest field goal that he'd ever kicked. Because when I looked at it, I said, there's no way in the world he can reach the end zone. Well, he not only did, he put it through the uprights, and we won the ball game. And all of a sudden, you know, things started to work out in the Eagles player. We went on to win 9 straight, and the love affair with the Philadelphia fans, I think, began in the 1960 season.
Pete, do you have memories of, Tommy, do you have memories of that game?
No, I don't have to. All I know, I'm just kind of glad that we pulled it out. That was the one good thing about it. But I just want to thank the Philadelphia fans because I tell you, I came from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I just never have seen such great fans in my life. And that's the reason I wanted to play so hard for the fans when I got to Philadelphia because they pour out to the stadium to fill up the stadium and everything. And so I just feel like I had to make it the game worth everything that I can because everybody deserves a chance in life. And just like Cobb, he deserves a chance in life, and that's what we're going to give him is a chance at quarterback.
Okay, Ray, do you have memories of that game against the Browns?
Very well. I think that Bob was right in saying that that was the key game. Because the Browns had beaten the Eagles badly in the opener of that season, 41-24 in Philadelphia. Cleveland was undefeated at the time that you played them. They were undefeated, leading the league. And the Eagles had had no success in Cleveland ever. They were 1-9 in that stadium. So all signs pointed towards Cleveland winning that game. And when the Eagles were able to come from behind the way they did in the fourth quarter and pull that game out, and, you know, Pete made a real big catch on the drive to set up the winning field goal. And then, look, I was an Eagles. I was a 13-year-old kid, and I loved this team. And I was hanging on every moment. But as much of a fan as I was, when Bobby Walston was lining up that 39-yard field goal, I didn't think he could make it. Because Bobby was a really good kicker, but that was well beyond his range. Kicking into the open end of that Cleveland Stadium, into the wind, it just didn't seem possible. And when he made it, I just got the feeling that, you know what, maybe this is their year. It may be, and I think the players felt that way, too. Most of the guys felt like that. From a confidence standpoint, that game really catapulted you.
I would agree with Ray because I think that's when the magic started.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, we've got Jim from Valley Forge joining us on the Fan Forum, and Jim has a special connection to that 1960 team. Jim, how are you?
Just fine, thank you.
What's your connection? Tell the guys about your connection.
My uncle was Charlie Gow.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
I went into your comments as he was the offensive coordinator in that 60 championship team, and I know I've read Ray's articles about him, but I was wondering if you could comment on the role that he played in that championship game.
This is Pete. I got to know Charlie very well, and I think he was one of the reasons, I think, that I had some success as a receiver. He had a way of coaching players that gave you a great deal of confidence in what he was had to say, and there was just an element of his personality that allowed you to put all your trust in him and go out and do the job that he wanted you to do. He was an outstanding coach. I thought that he was a an excellent addition to the coaching staff.
Tommy can speak to this because it was really Charlie Gower.
The coach reminded me of Bud Wilkerson when I was at Bud Wilkerson, and I went all through college. We never lost a game, and it was outstanding just to come up here and get under another coach just like that. So it was really an outstanding thing for me. So it helped me also.
Great. Great, and he was the one who got Tommy into the passing game, huh?
Yeah, Tommy was a halfback, and I couldn't quite figure out what to do with him. And it was Charlie that came up with the idea, why don't we make this kid
right.
They put him out there for one game. Tommy caught two or three touchdown passes, and he was a flanker for the rest of his life.
That's fantastic. Jack from East Falls joins us, and Jack was at the game and at Hershey for training camp. Jack, welcome to the Fan Forum.
Oh, thank you very much. I just wanted to give a comment. Maybe the players would, because I really admire them and Ray very much. But ironically, on Christmas Day, I lived in town and I was walking to the Goldman movie to see Spartacus. And the Green Bay Packers were staying at the Sheraton Hotel, which was then Kennedy Boulevard. And they came out of the hotel and walked almost like grade school children, two abreast, with Vince Lombardi being the safety officer, and marched in unison down to the Goldman Theater, and they saw the movie too. And at intermission, I was happy to be able to speak with some of the players, Boyd Dowler, Jim Ringo, and they were very complimentary about the Eagles, very complimentary about Franklin Field being such an intimate field on the campus of Penn, and I, quite frankly, was very worried because they looked like a very serious team. But my question, I also wanted to make a comment that I just thought that the 1960 team maybe wasn't the most talented team in the league that year, but it was just so special with the leadership that Van Brocklin gave. And there was a rumor, I think it was published in the bulletin, that Van Brocklin was supposed to be the next coach at the ending of the 60 season, and that didn't happen. And of course, they came from behind in almost every game. And they were just this unique blend of role players and leadership and people who were very unselfish players, very knowledgeable players. And Van Brocklin just seemed to be able to, Pete Retzlaff mentioned earlier about a quarterback that can think quickly and make something out of nothing or adjust. And it looked like Van Brocklin did that every game at halftime. From what I read about, with the championship game with Ted Dean and the Giants game, which not too many people mentioned, the Cleveland game was a wonderful game coming from behind. But I think we came behind in Yankee Stadium, too. And I just like to, number one, thank them for all the thrills that we've gotten. I don't think anybody has played the game like Tommy McDonald running over the middle, getting hit, playing injured, bouncing up. And I think Pete Retzlaff, if my memory's right, was a cut from Detroit and came here and worked hard to be probably the consummate tight end, although I think they called him split end at that time. And of course, Ray, you're the best.
Oh, thank you. Jack, thank you. Jack, thank you very much. That's a great phone call and some great memories there for these gentlemen here. We're joined by Pete Retzlaff, Tommy McDonald, Ray Dinger here. We're talking about the 1960 Philadelphia Eagles, who were honored this weekend, all weekend long, and the Eagles wearing those 1960 jerseys on Sunday when the 2010 season opens against the Green Bay Packers. If you have a question for these gentlemen, please hit star 3. We've got them for a few more minutes here in our fan forum. Let's go over to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and welcome in Barry. Hi, Barry. How are you today?
Oh, all right. Obviously, when we talk about the 60 season, some of it's going to be repetitive. But I'd like to bring your attention and hear your comments about the second half of the game at Yankee Stadium. In the first half, the Giants' defense just absolutely dominated the Eagles, and Van Brocklin came out in the third quarter and started with the three-step drops and quick passes. And I thought that was I remember that half like it was yesterday, and it was 50 years ago, and I just wonder what some of your memories are.
Well, your memory is better than mine. But I don't remember too much about that game, except
neither do I.
the game, when the game was over, it was Bednarik. Was that the game that Bednarik hit Gifford?
Gifford, right.
And put Gifford out for a whole year, really. And But anyway, it was that was a good game. I would just say that we came from behind in every game except one that we won. So we were always, with the exception of one game, we were behind at halftime in every game that we played that year.
What happened? The Giants game, the game you're talking about, the game at Yankee Stadium, you're right. The Giants came out in the first half and blitzed like crazy and really did shut down the Eagles' offense, and they were all over Van Brocklin. And at halftime, the Eagles had started a rookie named Bill Lapham at center in that game, and the Giants were really taking advantage of his inexperience. And at halftime, the coach, Buck Shaw, went to Bednarik and said, "Chuck, we need you to play both ways the second half. We need you to play center." And so Chuck came in the second half, and with Bednarik at center sort of shoring up the middle of that offensive line, you know, controlled the blitz, gave Van Brocklin the time he needed. Once Van Brocklin had a little time, he was able to pick that secondary apart. And then, of course, what everybody remembers is the big hit Bednarik on Gifford at the end that forces the fumble that saves the game, and 17-10. Interesting. So many things about that season are very unusual and the way they played out. But the most unusual thing was the Eagles and the Giants were back. You played them back-to-back.
Yeah,
I mean, that almost never happens that the league schedules you to play the same team in consecutive weeks. But that year, for whatever reason, the Eagles and the Giants played consecutive weeks. So after that dramatic win at Yankee Stadium, the very next Sunday, the same two teams had to play at Franklin Field.
Yeah, and that was the last. I believe that was
I know.
The last.
I never could get over it. I never could get over it because we had to play them right in the next week, right in a row.
Yeah, that, and I think that was the last year that the teams played back-to-back games in the league because the coaches complained about it. You know, to beat a team one weekend and then play another team, and they thought it was a little bit hard to get up for the second game. So there had to be at least one weekend between.
Thank you very much for that call, Barry. Jim from Center City joins us. And, Jim, is something you want to say to Tommy McDonald?
Well, I had two things. First, Tommy, when I was a kid, I did get a copy of your book. I don't know if you remember, They Pay Me to Catch Footballs. I have a copy of that.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, if you're going to reissue it. Any comments on that book? And a second kind of question for both of you, what was it like to play with Van Brocklin?
It was a good thing that we did get Van Brocklin, because Van Brocklin not only could sort of teach Sonny Jurgensen, who was playing behind him, so it was really great that he could give him little hints and watch how Van Brocklin handled himself and everything like that. So that's why I think that Sonny Jurgensen became the quarterback that he did, because he was a talented quarterback. And it was a blessing in disguise that we got Van Brocklin from the Los Angeles Rams when we did, because I'm telling you one thing, if we hadn't have gotten Van Brocklin, there wouldn't have been any 1960 championship team.
Okay, how about you?
Well, I think that Ray Dittinger might know the answer to this better than I would, but I think there aren't too many teams in the National Football League that had two quarterbacks that are Hall of Famer sitting at the same time, one playing and one sitting on the bench.
Very unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Van Brocklin and Waterfield in Los Angeles
came
here, and then later on, Montana and Steve Young. But they may be the only ones. That might be it. It's a very select fraternity.
Yeah. Now let's go down to Alexandria, Virginia, and talk to Michael. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the Fan Forum.
Thank you. Like the gentleman who had Charlie Gower as an uncle, I have some history as well. My grandfather, Harry Shapiro, put together the 100 old men back in 49 to buy the Eagles from Alexis Thompson, and then was with their lawyers and got the team for Jerry, helped Jerry Wollman get the team. So, and I was at that 60 game. But the thing that I wanted to get your reactions, the thing that really hit me was in the Cleveland game, two things. First of all, Bednarik going both ways and replacing Howard Keyes or Pellegrini. And secondly, I think Bednarik used the two-minute drill. I'm not Bednarik. Van Brocklin used the two-minute drill, which was the first time I'd ever seen it, tossing the ball out of bounds to conserve time. And I was just curious if you recall that and your reactions to that.
No, I don't recall that. I really don't. But it's probably a good thing to do when you can't call time out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the idea of Bednarik.
Ray, do you have any recollection of that?
Well, Nobody really talked. Nobody called it a two-minute drill then. I mean, but there were a few guys in the league that were good at it. The idea of using the sideline to conserve the clock and move the ball and move, as we talk about moving the chains now. Unitas was great at it in the 50s. And, of course, everybody remembers the 58 championship game where he used the sidelines and stopping the clock to get them down the field. But Van Brocklin was from the same school. And in a lot of ways, those two guys were the prototypes of the next generation of quarterbacks that followed. I mean, they played a game at a higher level and a different way than anybody else. And that was one of the that was the great advantage that your team had, Pete. It's often been said, but I think it's really true. I don't know if the 1960 Eagles would have won a championship with any quarterback other than Van Brocklin. He was really that good. That's why, for the folks that are listening, I would really urge you, if you could, to watch that show tomorrow night. The Eagles Television Network has this show. It's called 1960, A Championship Season. It's going to air on Channel 6 at 7 o'clock. And it's a great 1 hour. It has interviews with all these guys. It has interviews with Pete and Tommy and, you know, Riley Gunnels and all those guys. But more importantly, it has all this great action footage of the 1960 season. So for the fans that have only heard about these players and have only heard about Van Brocklin, here's your chance to actually see this team play and see Van Brocklin throw the football, because, believe me, he was a master.
Yes, he was.
He really was. And not only that, was Chuck Bednarik knew what he was doing over there on defense, too.
Yeah, Tommy, you'll remember that Van Brocklin had the ability to throw the ball where you were supposed to be. And most of the time when you ran a pass pattern for Norm, the ball was in the air before you turned around to look for it, and it was usually right on target.
By the way, we will have, for those of you out of the market, we will have that special on the website as well on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We'll air that after it airs on Channel 6. Let's go to Lawrenceville, New Jersey, and speak to Robert. Robert has a memory. He's been a 43-year season ticket holder. We thank you very much for your support, Robert, and welcome to the Fan Forum.
Thank you very much. I just like to let Tommy McDonald. I just want to let you know, Tommy. How you doing, Tommy?
I am doing fantastic, thanks to the good Lord. I'm getting off alone.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know, Tommy, you're the reason why I became an Eagle fan back in 1959. And I'm 43 years now, and I was at the 1960 championship game. And Pardon?
How old were you?
Oh, wow. Well, right now I'm 74 years old, and I've been a season ticket holder for 43 years. I'm at my third stadium now. I started at Franklin Field to veterans, and now I'm at the Link.
Well, that's good for you, because we need the fan, because Pennsylvania's got the greatest fans in the world.
Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. I'm from Jersey now, but I've been an Eagle fan a long time, and you're the reason why I became. All I used to say years ago was Van Brocklin to McDonald. Van Brocklin to McDonald. You had the best hands I'd ever seen. And I just wanted to let you know how much I thought of you and the Eagle.
Well, my dad was an electrician, and that's the reason I owe my dad a lot, because I put in a lot of plugs and stuff like that with a screwdriver and everything, so it made my fingers awful strong. And then not only that, when I got up here to the Eagles up here, I started squeezing clay, just squeezing the clay with my fingers and stuff like that, and it made my hands very strong. And it really paid off, because I could catch any balls that came to me.
Okay, another thing I like to, wasn't that short when Van Brocklin used to go back and used to, I think it was against the Giants when you came out, that was called the look-in pass, wasn't it? With the short drop and you come across the middle called the look-in.
Oh, I think absolutely, it was. It was a slant is what it's called.
It was a slant called the look-in.
Yeah, slant. You run about five steps, and then you slant into the middle.
Right, called the look-in.
And that was a really a good thing, because if one thing God had blessed me with, it was with speed, because I won the 100-yard dash and the 200-yard dash when I was in high school. And when I got up my speed and everything going, would really help if I could run a quick post or a slant or anything like that.
Okay, thank you very much, Robert, for that phone call, and thank you for the memories. We would now like to go down to North Cape, New Jersey, and welcome George into our fan forum. George, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you for calling. Hi, Pete. Hi, Tommy. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
How are you?
Very
good. Nice to hear you.
1960, I was there. Ted Dean ran right for that touchdown and won the game right towards me and cut back over that goal line. Tommy with them short sleeves on, going over the middle and catching that ball for a TD into the snowbank. Pete lowering
yep.
that shoulder and giving the Green Bay Packers one hell of a shot. And Mr. Bednarik laying on Mr. Taylor, wouldn't let him up. What
yep.
memories, man. I can't wait. I'll never see nothing like that again. I'm 76 years old. I started out in Chi Park with Van Buren and Tommy Thompson and Bosch Pritchard. Bosch used to come down here to Cape May on the beach with us every once in a while. I got to know him while he was when he did come to Cape May. I remember that Cleveland game. I don't know what's the name made that field goal through all that mud. That was a pigsty out there. I never saw such cheap mud in my life. I don't know how he ever kept his feet. And one thing I remember of a Cleveland game, somebody gave Bednarik a cheap shot. He went across the field after the series of play, pushed all the Cleveland players by himself, pushed all the Cleveland players right the hell out of the way, went down to the guy that did it to him and shook his finger right in his face and turned around and left, and nobody bothered him, nobody. He was the baddest he was the baddest dude I've ever seen play pro football, and Mr. Retzlaff sure wasn't far behind him, I'll tell you that. When he lowered that shoulder, them D-backs, they winced, I'll tell you that. But thank you guys for calling.
I'll tell you how talented Pete Retzlaff is. Pete Retzlaff was a fullback most of his life, and making a switch to a tight end or anything like that was one. That means how much talent he had. Is he had so much talent because it's very hard to be playing in a fullback position and then switch to a tight end. So that tells you how much talent that Pete Retzlaff has.
Hey, thank you very much, Tommy. Let's go to Farmingdale, New Jersey. Anthony in Farmingdale, welcome to the Fan Forum.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm only 65 years old, and I've only been a season ticket holder for 40 years. But I can't say I was at the game, but I saw it on TV, and I was in the middle of Giants country up there in North Jersey, and there was nothing that made me happier in the world than to walk out of that door and say, "We are the champions." So I want to thank you guys for giving me that opportunity. Especially
well, thank you
Giants
for being
fans.
A fan.
Well, I'll tell you, my favorite memories were, of course, both of you guys were just, of course, fantastic. And Norman, God bless him. You know, he was just a savior. But if I recall correctly, too, one of my questions was, I think if I remember right, the 59 team wasn't too bad either. And what would you say was the thing? Was it Van Brocklin himself? I mean, what would you say was the difference between the 59 and 60 team?
In 59, they were 7-5.
Yeah, Van Brocklin.
Yeah, I think Van Brocklin was probably the glue that held that, put that team together and kept it that way. he had a wealth of experience that he laid on all of us. And I think we became a much better ball club as a result of Van Brocklin's influence on us. And not you know, plus the fact that he was an outstanding quarterback, of course. But I just think that he had the right personality for that team at the right time.
There's a big addition on the 60 team. One of the most amazing stats about that 60 team was that was a team that had 45 takeaways in a 14-game season. Now, that's amazing. And one of the additions that year in 1960 was a safety named Don Burrows that they got in a trade for the Rams. And Burrows came in, really nailed down the free safety position, and had 9 interceptions in a 12-game season. And so for a team that really relied on turnovers, he was a big, big addition.
Okay, let's go to Roger. Roger from Dover, Delaware. Roger, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Roger. Hi.
Yeah, I've been a fan over 45 years or so now. And my question is, compared to 19, Pete and Tommy were playing, and when they made the hits that they made, compared to today's team, how do they feel that things stack up when they played as opposed to the rules and regulations and so forth that we now have as compared to when they played?
I think it's probably a little easier today to get off the line of scrimmage than it used to be. But as a wide receiver and as a tight end, my job was to run away from people, not run into them. And so I was grateful for the fact that I wasn't getting bounced on every play, every time that ball was snapped, you know. And I just think it was a great experience in a sense that you got the opportunity to play the width and the breadth of the field as a wide receiver or as a tight end. And, you know, I really have some good feelings about the fact that I started as a wide receiver or flanker, if you will, and became a tight end. And that was a time when all of a sudden teams started using the tight end in the passing game when before they were primarily using him as another offensive tackle and very seldom threw the ball to the tight end. And that all changed. Ditka is a good example of what happened in Chicago as a tight end. There were others in the league at the time that they started using them in the passing pattern, and it really helped me to be more of an integral part of the game.
Tommy, how about for you?
Well,
the rules difference.
Well, the Eagles drafted me as a halfback, and I came up here as a halfback, and it was a big break for me because one of the receivers got hurt there my freshman year in 1957, and they put me out there to see how I could do. And since the good Lord gave me good speed and everything like that, why I was able to score two touchdowns and everything like that. So the Eagles told me, said, your days of a halfback are over with. You're going to be a wide receiver from now on.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest difference. I think Pete and Tommy touched on it is the receivers get the free release.
Yeah.
You know, now I mean they can really run free. Back then, defensive backs could hit guys all over the field. And I just did a size comparison of the current Eagles to the Eagles of 60. And you look at the line of scrimmage; it's not even close. I mean, the players are 60, 70 pounds big, heavier. But if you look in the defensive secondary, the Eagles' defensive secondary in 1960 was bigger than the current secondary. I mean, Jimmy Carr and Brookshire were 6'1", 200 pounds, compared to Ellis Hobbs and Asante Samuel, which speaks to the fact that today it's all about speed and quickness in the secondary, whereas back when you guys played 50 years ago, defensive backs could be a lot more physical.
Yeah, right. Hey, we have Joe from Morristown joining us. Joe, welcome to the show here.
Hey, gentlemen, this is a real pleasure. I'm really looking forward to this. I feel like a young guy here, only 59, listening to some of these guys on the phone. I've only been a season ticket holder since 1970, so you know, it's a unique experience. But my comments are towards Tommy McDonald. Mr. McDonald, years ago when I was a kid, my father used to take me out to Franklin Field. He was a police officer, and we would come in the back and stand there and watch the game. And one of these games we went to, I was able to get a little closer to the fence. And as the players came off the field, it was my first opportunity ever to get an autograph. And I walked out, and I had someone rejected me. I won't say who. And you came along, and as my heart was sinking down because I was so embarrassed, you came right up to me, and I asked you, and you gave me an autograph. Got down on your knee. And I'll tell you, to this day, I tell my son a story all the time, and I tell him that, you know, Tommy McDonald's the guy that made me an Eagle lover. And I truly appreciate your kindness that day, sir.
Well, I want people to know that without the fan, you have nothing. Nothing! So we need the fans, and I try and do anything I can for a fan, because we want the Eagle fans to really appreciate what we did.
They certainly do, Tommy. Thank you very much for that call, and thank you very much for that memory. Let's go now to John from New Jersey, who wants to know a little bit more about Norm Van Brocklin. Hi, John.
Hey, Dave. Tommy and Pete, this is great listening to you guys. I mean, this is bringing back memories. Of course, I happen to be in the Army overseas in Germany, so, of course, I missed a 60 game also. But my question
well,
to you
thank
is...
Well, thank you for being in the Army overseas, too.
Tommy, thank you for bringing a championship to Philly.
Okay.
My question to you is I keep reading stories, and, Ray, I've heard a lot of your stories, but I want to talk to the two guys that were in the huddle with Norm Van Brocklin. What was he really like in that huddle?
Well, he was no nonsense. And you knew you were playing a game, and you knew that he was taking the game very seriously. Every once in a while, if it was a third down play, he would look over at Tommy, or he'd look over at Bobby Walston, or he'd look over at me and say, "What can you get?" And it was third and 10 or third and 12 or whatever it was. You better not run a pattern shorter than that, and you better be open. If he gave you the permission to call your own play, you did everything you could to be available for him when that ball was being thrown. So that more than anything else in the huddle that I can recall, other than that, he had the respect of everybody on that team when he was in the huddle. And what he was calling was usually a lot of thought put into it, and all we had to do was, do the exercise.
And that's what was so great about it. That was so great about him is because he was looking for information. You could bring back the information back to him, and if you could think you could beat somebody, tell him. If you could get a post or a corner or anything like that, tell Van Brocklin.
We only have a couple of minutes left, so we'll get to a couple of calls very quickly here. Kevin from Malvern, welcome to the Fan Forum.
Thank you. Just wanted to direct it to Tommy and Pete, but mostly Tommy. I've been, with my father, a season ticket holder for 50 years this year.
Good for you.
I grew up right around the corner from you, Tommy, and I ended up living next door to Nick Skorich, who later became a head coach of the Eagles. So we got to interact with you guys up in Hershey at the training camp when it was a closed training camp and was not open to the public. But Nick would bring us up. But partly we became season ticket holders because of that 60 championship game and because of you too, Tommy. Just wanted to ask you, you always had your signature bounce-up play after every time you made a catch. Even if you were hurt, you always seemed to be able to get up. Just wondered how you compare the conditioning of the 60 championship team to today's team.
Well, it's a heck of a big difference, I'll tell you that, because they have better helmets and stuff like that, because I wound up having two concussions and everything like that, and I think the game back in those days, we really were underpaid. I don't know what some of the salaries were or anything like that, but boy, I'm telling you, I can't believe the salaries these guys are getting nowadays, and it's guaranteed. But back then in those days, we loved to play. It was actually fun for us, just like Pete Redslaff. We were family with that 1960 team. We were absolutely family. We were like brothers, and it was just terrific the way it came together and everything like that. And the only thing we needed was Van Brocklin, and boy, when they added Van Brocklin, that put the nail in the tire. It was just one big hit after another, and that was really great.
You know, as you know, this weekend is the start of the 2010 season, so I think this question from Pat from Pennsylvania will be more directed at Ray. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the Fan Forum, and thanks for waiting so long.
Hi, Ray Dinger. I'm only 16, so I'm more of the current Eagles, but I was wondering what you think how the offensive line is going to do, because the defense was supposed to be our weak part, and in the preseason, they've been playing so well, and our offense has been playing bad. So how do you feel?
So you're talking, you're talking about this Sunday's game? Well, yeah. I think you put your finger on it. I think the Eagles' offensive line is really going to be the key to Sunday's game. You know, I wish they had had an opportunity for those five guys to play together a little bit more, establish a little continuity. But you're just going to have to go in there and do the best you can. I mean, having Jamal Jackson back will help. I think Nick Cole going back to right guard is his best position. You know, I think, you know, they have to protect Kevin Cobb and give him a time to throw, because the weakness in the Green Bay team, they don't have many weaknesses, but they do have problems on the back end of their defense. They got a couple injuries in their secondary, and they can be susceptible to big plays. But, you know, you're going to have to protect the quarterback to allow him to throw the football. So I think you're right. I think the Eagles' offensive line, if the Eagles are going to win this game, the offensive line is going to have to play very well. But given the lack of continuity and the lack of time they've had to play together, that's going to be a real challenge.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Weehawken. And Ned, welcome to the Fan Forum.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Thank you. Great.
Hello, Ned.
I wanted to address a question to Tommy. My uncle, who all three of you know very well, is Jimmy Gallagher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tommy, I've always heard the stories about how he was very instrumental in bringing you to Philadelphia, and I just wanted to hear your take on it.
Well, I don't know how instrumental they was about getting me to Philadelphia or anything like that, because I won the Max, out of Oklahoma, I won the Maxwell Award myself, and I came up here and everything, and I talked to a lot of people and everything like that, but the Eagles, I don't know if that's what made them interested in me, since I won the Maxwell Award or anything like that, because Paul Hornung won the Heisman Award and everything like that. But I came up here, and I was a halfback up here, but I'm just thankful that the good Lord got me to the Eagles, because that sort of gave me a chance to, from being a halfback in college. The Eagles drafted me as a halfback, and I got up here, and then the receiver got hurt, and they put me out there to see how I could do. And I scored two touchdowns and stuff, and then they said, hey, you're going to be a receiver. Forget being a halfback. So it was just really great. The good Lord let me be in the right place at the right time.
Actually, Jimmy was instrumental in Tommy's being drafted. Jimmy, who later became the public relations director of the team, was the PR director for decades. In 1960 or 1957, when Tommy was drafted, was working in the personnel department.
Yeah,
and so Jimmy was working in the personnel department then. And when the draft came up, Jimmy was sitting at the table, and Tommy was the third round of the draft, and Tommy was still on the board. And the Eagles, the management, the general manager, and the coaches were concerned because of Tommy's size. Tommy was 5'9", 174 pounds. And they kept passing him over because they thought he was too small. And Jimmy said, you know, I've seen Oklahoma play, and all I ever see this guy do is score touchdowns. Every time I look up, he's in the end zone. So on the basis of Jimmy's recommendation, they said, all right, we'll take him. So it really was kind of Jimmy, I think, to put the bug in their ear and brought a Hall of Fame receiver to Philadelphia.
Oh, boy, the times have certainly changed. We've got four more questions here. And Lori in New Jersey, we welcome you to the Fan Forum. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm a newbie. I'm only a 25-year season ticket holder. But I just had two comments. Well, actually, unfortunately, I wasn't born in the 1960 game, but I have seen films, and thanks to a lot of the books that Ray Diddy has written, you know, I feel like I have been there. So thanks, Ray.
Thank you,
Tommy. Tommy, I just wanted to comment on your Hall of Fame speech and celebration. I still think to this day it's the best celebration ever. I was so proud as an Eagle fan, as a football fan, and you added excitement to what could sometimes be a boring afternoon. So I wanted to thank you and congratulate you personally.
That was the best thing that I ever did, was picking Ray Dittinger to be my introduction guy. It was absolutely fantastic. And I didn't want people to get bored just talking and stuff like that. I wanted to try and let people know that I was so happy to get in the Hall of Fame, and that's the reason I chest-bumped everybody that was going in with me. And And I pulled my boombox out, and the song Staying Alive was on there, and I started doing a little bit of dancing and everything like that. So I just was absolutely fantastic, and I just so happy that I picked Ray Dittinger to introduce me to the Hall of Fame people and everything. So I'm so fortunate that the Eagles drafted me up here, because that's the reason I stayed up here. I stayed up here after I even retired.
Well, I got to tell you, Tom, I've said this to you before, and I'll always say it, that the biggest thrill of my life was sharing that stage with you and being the guy that got the opportunity to present the guy who was my boyhood hero. To be on the stage and be there and share that weekend with you is still one of the great thrills of my life, and I thank you for giving me that privilege.
Thank you very much for that, Lori. Let's go to Mount Ephraim, New Jersey, and welcome in Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
First of all, I want to thank you for calling me. This is such a great honor to listen to all these gentlemen talk on. I've learned more about football than I think I could ever do. I'm just a young kid at 60 who's only been a season ticket holder for about 10 years. And need to say, I won't miss that show tomorrow night on Channel 6. My question really is about today's team, and I know we had a couple of questions asked about already, but with the youth and the energy that they do have, do you think it can make a difference to overcome the experience that of the other teams that they'd be playing? And what do you think, record-wise, you think we could possibly do this year?
Thanks, Jerry. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, it is a young team. There's no doubt about that. You know, Andy has been very upbeat about it right from the beginning. I mean, all through training camp, the word he keeps using is, I love the energy, I love the energy, I love the energy. And when you were at training camp, you saw it. Is there a lack of experience? Are they going to make some mistakes? Is it going to cost them? Sure. I mean, that's part of the growth process. But there's a lot of talent here. There is a lot of energy and enthusiasm. And I think you're going to like this team. I'm picking them to go 9-7. I think they're going to be good. I think they're probably going to maybe just fall a little bit short of the playoffs. But I really do think by the end of the year, you're going to feel like you have a bright future here. I really think this team is headed in the right direction. And I'll tell you, some of the young players that I knew nothing about 2 months ago, after having seen them up to this point, they're good players, and they're going to play well for Philadelphia.
Thank you very much for that call. We've got two questions left in our fan forum this evening. Let's go to Linden, Pennsylvania, and talk to Bill. Bill, welcome to the fan forum.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dave. I was just asking, either the guys, were there any rules back in there that they have gotten rid of, or rules that are currently in the NFL that they did not have back then that you wish they did have when you were playing?
Pete? Tommy?
Oh.
I'm sure you wouldn't have liked to have been mauled like you were coming off the line of scrimmage.
Well, yeah, they've made it a little bit easier for a receiver to conduct his business out there running pass patterns, but I played at a time when a defensive back, if you got too close to him, he could throw a cross body block on you and take you completely out of the pass pattern. Well, that doesn't happen anymore, obviously, but though that would be one of the changes that I would probably highlight as a receiver. But I'm not sure about, the game is pretty much the same. I think the emphasis has shifted, and I think it's an aerial game more now than it has been in the past. But, and so the premium is on a good quarterback with a strong arm and a capable athlete with good skills, and at the same time, blessed with outstanding speed on the outside and your outside receivers like we did have with when Tommy was playing.
Okay. Tommy, do you have any rules that you'd like to rescind from 1960?
Size is something that everybody says, oh, you're too small, and I just had a big heart from God, and that way God let me play the way I wanted to play, and it was marvelous, fantastic.
Great. Hey, we have one final call. We go to Sellersville, Pennsylvania. And, Fred, we thank you so much for joining us on the Fan Forum tonight.
Hello, guys. Glad I could get through. My question is, in 1960, right after the Giants game, when Chuck smoked Frank, the next week, it was either Look Magazine or Life, had him on the cover standing over Frank Gifford. And the headlines were Murder on the Gridiron. My question is, do you think that photo plus the 57 championship game, the Colts and the Giants, I consider those two as big stepping stones for the NFL and their forward progress. What do you say about that?
Oh, well, you know, television is was the key to the success and the I would say the growth of the NFL.
Absolutely.
And when they started televising the games and it changed. People in the United States that were nowhere near a franchise area, especially out in the Midwest, Minnesota, the Dakotas, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, there was no interest in the NFL until everybody started getting television across the country. And all of a sudden they started adopting their teams, or their favorite team, and it started to put the NFL in a prominent position, I think, as far as televising football games.
The NFL was really growing at that time. Mm-hmm. The 58 championship game, the sudden death game, Colts-Giants, is sometimes called the greatest game ever played, and I don't think it was. If you go back at it, I mean, there were a lot of mistakes, and it was kind of sloppy. But it was probably the most significant game ever played. Because you think about everything that kind of grew out of it. I mean, the television audience was massive, and people suddenly got turned on to football. By 1960, by the year these guys won the championship, the American Football League was born. The Dallas Cowboys came into the league. In the late 50s, the southernmost pro football team was the Washington Redskins. There was no football south of Washington. Isn't that hard to believe now?
Mm-hmm.
There was very little west. But the AFL came in. There was teams in Denver and Houston. The Dallas Cowboys came in as a team in Dallas, teams in Florida. I mean, everything kind of grew from the late 50s. And the Eagles and their season in 1960 was right on the cusp of that. And the Bednarik Gifford play happening in New York, cover of Time and Life magazine, obviously was a big part of it. It introduced people to the game that is now, I think, America's game 50 years later.
Indeed. Well, gentlemen, we thank you, Pete Retzlaff, Tommy McDonald, Ray Didinger, for joining us. You thousands of Eagles fans who've joined us here on the Fan Forum. It's the kickoff to a great weekend of nostalgia and a great weekend of anticipation as the 2010 season begins. If you had a question and did not have an opportunity to ask it, we apologize. We will have future fan forums here, so stay tuned. You can also stay on the line and leave a voicemail. And we remind you to wear your Kelly Green on Sunday as the Eagles celebrate the 1960 NFL champions. And tomorrow morning, the Pro Shop at Lincoln Financial Field opens at 6 o'clock, and it's the morning madness as the Kelly Green gear has arrived and goes on sale. We thank you all for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles night, and go Eagles against the Packers.
Thank you for being fans.